they have all these ideas. Here we are just a month away from Christmas. So I believe that people are asking, why? Why Jesus? Why? What's he so special over above all the other religions in this world? What makes him stand out from all the rest of the gods that are all around us? Why him, the Son of God? Why do you call him the Son of God? Why? They're going through all the questions. And he has to be the center, or at least should be the center of our lives. You know that the word sin, S-I-N, I always try to put acrostics or kind of words to it. Sin is Savior in need. I kind of put that up there for you. So anyway, that's what we need is the Lord Jesus Christ. I think that people would, in their wives, perhaps say, why? How could he ever save me? How could he ever save me? Well, maybe they say, well, save us from what? Of course, everybody thinks they're perfect, right? Nobody thinks we've ever done anything wrong or said anything wrong. We move along with life. I mean, the standard that we set for ourselves, we live by that standard. You've got your standard. You live by your standard. We all have our different standards to live by. And as long as I live by my standard, I'm comfortable because I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm walking in my standard. That's how we live. But many times in the Word of God, we're told to stay faithful. Keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ, on the author and the finisher of your faith. We're told to keep our lamps trimmed with oil. Don't forsake the assembling together of yourselves, as a manner of some is. Keep going. Keep doing it. It's where we find the strength and the encouragement in the house of God, but the people of God. And I really enjoyed Wednesday night with the Truth Project. That kind of drove it home about the importance of the church. It was really good. And Pierre had said that he would share any of these DVDs with people who would like to get them. If you couldn't make it on Wednesday night, the ones that we've seen, I'm sure that he would make available to you any of those DVDs that you could go back and see some of the things we're hearing on Wednesday nights. And it's good stuff. It's good meat that we're getting on Wednesday night. It really encourages us. So we're encouraged to live as close as we can to God and far away from the world. Close as you can to God and far away from the world. Because in the world, there's all those temptations and all those draws and all that. Hey, I want that. Hey, let's get this. And we should be doing that. You know, I always like going back to my home city of Oshawa. And over the years, you know, going back with my dad's funeral, my mom's funeral back in 2010, to go back there and see some of the people that, you know, were adults when I grew up, and to go back and see them. And when you get to these things, and all they remember me as a child, and they look at me and they say, is that you, Russell? Yeah, it's me. And wow, I remember you when you're this tall, you were a troublemaker. They have all the things they like to get into about me and all that. They say, is that really you? And I say, yeah, it's really me. It's Russell. No, remember, as a little boy, but I've grown up. He says, oh, what are you doing now? I'm a pastor. Oh. I hadn't expected that. And so they said, oh, I remember you as a little rascal, and you were doing all kinds of things. And I remember as a boy, as a teenager, you gave your parents a lot of problems and all that. I said, well, I'm a pastor now. I've got Jesus. All that's behind me. It's kind of like water under the bridge, but it came through the blood of Jesus Christ. It's me. It's still me in the body. No matter what age we're in, it's still us, right? Still you. You may get some white hair or loose hair or gain pounds or lose pounds or whatever you go through, but it's still you, right? Still you. It's the same with Jesus. We're going to be celebrating Jesus. He was a baby, born into this world. Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary. He was born into this world. He's a little baby crying, wanting milk. He cried, he laughed, he booed, and all those things that a baby does. He grew up, he became a toddler, learned his first steps. Went through all those things as a little toddler. He became a teenager, an adult, but he's all the same person. It's all the same. He's the Son of God. He's the same person all through these stages of life. He wasn't a troublemaker like me. But it's the same person, each phase of his life. So when you see a baby, baby Jesus, that's really Jesus. That's really Jesus. Some like to keep him as a baby, though, don't they? And it's a lot safer when we have a baby around us. He doesn't trouble us. He doesn't talk to us. You know, put him to bed. He sleeps. Wake him up. Feed him. Change his diaper. Put him back to bed. Wake him up. Feed him. Put him back to bed. So, you know, all those things that we go through with babies. It's much safer to have that. But you know what? As you look at this baby Jesus, that was a powerful moment when the Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary. And Jesus as a baby, Jesus as a toddler, Jesus as a teenager, Jesus as an adult, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. I was reading on my devotionals in James on Friday, and it said this in James chapter 1, verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. No variation or shadow of turning. In other words, you can count on Jesus, baby, toddler, teenager, adult, whatever. He's the same. No variation of turning. He's the same all the way through all those stages. Whatever stage of life you look at Jesus, it's all the same. But it wasn't complete in presenting to this world the complete package of salvation until he died upon the cross and rose from the grave. And then it was complete.
Amen.
Amen. Aren't you thankful for that completeness?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. He's sympathizing with us right now. He's interceding on our behalf right now. He's talking about us in heaven. Amen? He's sympathizing with everything that's going on in our life, with all of our weaknesses, but for him, was in all points tested just like we are. But I love those words at the end here. That's why I'm bolding them and underlining them. Yet without sin.
Amen.
Yet without sin. You know, this is a big deal. How about you? But this is a big deal. Think about that. Live a life in this world without sin. Think about that for a moment. I'm sure that you're thinking about all the stuff you've gone through, faced, horrendous times. Thankful that the blood of Jesus Christ washed you clean.
Yes, amen.
But think about that. To live for 33 and a half years, yet without sin. That's something. It boggles my mind to even think about this. This is a big deal when we get to this in the Word of God, and to realize that Jesus, the Son of God, the sinless Son of God, came to this world, not one sin in his life. Wow. We all know ourselves too well, don't we? Now, I can sin. I've become pretty good at it. How about you?
Yes.
We're all able and capable of sinning. Even though we confess Jesus as Lord, we are still able to sin.
Yes.
We're still able to sin. We know it happens all too much in our lives. Romans chapter 3, verse 10 says, as it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none who understands. There's none who seeks after God. They've all turned aside. They've together become unprofitable. There is none who does good. No, not one. Not one. Not one of us. I love in Psalm 119, David penned these wonderful words. Psalm 119 is that beautiful, long psalm. And verse 11 says, your word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against you. David, the man of God, found that place in God's heart, the apple of his eye, and just had that very wonderful relationship with God. And he said, you know, I have your word I have hidden in my heart. Why? That I might not sin against you. Praise God for the word of God. Amen.
Amen.
That's David. So I believe just as David was capable of sinning, you and I are very capable of sinning here in 2019. We are all capable of sinning. We did it professionally before we came to Jesus. We know everything about it. We could do it, you know, at the best of them. We knew how to sin and all those things. But thank God that when we came to Jesus, we are praying this very prayer that David said, "Your word have I hid in my heart, but I will not sin against you." God, I want to stay close. I want to stay close. Bible tells us that God cannot be associated with sin. It separates us from Him. If we sin, there is a barrier that comes in there. There's a wall. There's a partition that separates us from Him. And even while we're a Christian, if we do sin, thank God that we know what to do about it, right? If you sin while you're a Christian, walking in relationship with Jesus Christ, you know, and John said this in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's almost like, you know, some of us know how to sin more and more every day. It's like this prayer should be written on the top of our heads and go through this life. Lord, I just confess my sin. You know, I know that You're faithful. Just forgive me of my sins and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Oh, there I did it again. Jesus, you know, and then we kind of go through the same motions. Thank God that we've got that anchor to come to, that we can confess our sins. The Bible tells us how far apart we are from God, too, and our need of a Savior, and His name is Jesus. And He came to this world, and He stands apart from us without sin. That's the Savior that we have, without sin. Jesus, without sin. He stands free. He's apart from us. He's not even in our category. He's without sin. We need a Savior. It's exactly what this world needs right now. So hold fast your confession, says, if indeed you have a confession as your Lord and Savior, don't give up no matter what. So today, can we talk about something that's a biggie in our life? Let's talk about sin. Is it okay? Go for it.
Yeah.
Amen. I mean, if you don't want to talk about it, we'll go and have some food right now. Get out of here. Elvis is in the house. Get out of the house. Sin. Is that in your mind? When we wake up in the morning, what's the first thing that comes into your mind? Well, for me, get the dog out. And you know why. Gotta get the dog out. So that's the first thing on my mind when we get up, because we gotta get him out and do his business. Right, Betty? Gotta get him outside. So 5 o'clock in the morning, we're walking down the streets with our dog. Here we are. For some, the first thing on their mind, don't talk to me until I get my... There it is. Hallelujah. I knew that would be a real no-brainer that we'd get across on that one. I've met those people, I haven't had my coffee yet. And it's kind of like, okay. It's like, put them in the cage until they, you know, feed them a coffee into the bars. You know, give them something to, you know, make them docile. Some people wake up in the morning and they... say, what will I have for breakfast today? I think I'll go out for breakfast. You know, there's all those kinds of decisions that we go through in our life. And so they have all these ideas. For some, you know, it's work or school, the projects, the stress, and the wake up in the morning, and there it is. It's right there. It's going through your mind. And perhaps at work, there's something came up that, you know, just there it is. It's in your mind. So first thing when you wake up in the morning, there it is. For some, or all, hopefully, getting up in the morning is, I like to get to God, have some devotions, and start prayer, and just get close to Him to start my day. Amen? And that's what we need, is prayer in the Bible. But I don't think any one of us wakes up in the morning and says, you know, I think I'll sin today. I don't think that we wake up in the morning and say something like that, or even, you know, I wonder if I will sin today. It's not something we think about. It seems far from our mind with all the stuff that's going on in life, with all the things we go through, wanting our coffee, walking the dog, getting to school, getting to work, and everything else. Sin is not very close to our minds when we wake up in the morning. But I really believe that sin is this big deal in our lives. How about you? There are so many, many things that provoke us to sin, that get in our way of doing the right things, and and prevent us from keeping close to Jesus. But we need to make sure that when we lay our heads on our pillow every night, whether it's mypillow.com or whatever, when we lay our heads on our pillow at night, hopefully we haven't caused any offense during that day or any harm or any troublemaking or anything else around us, that hopefully we got through that day. And if we offended somebody, we go back and we make it right, because that's what the Word of God says. And we know that we hid His Word into our hearts that we would not offend Him. Isn't that right? So thank God. We live in a real world and there are many distractions. I was reading in my devotional on Friday, and it took me to 1 Timothy, and Paul was talking to Timothy. Paul was telling Timothy about this root that could get into your heart, which will be a real distraction. It's a real thing. And so it says it in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10, "For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." Wow. Money, money, money. Everybody wants to make money. Make more money. More. 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 No, I don't think Paul was saying, you know, we shouldn't have money, we shouldn't ignore everything that goes on in our life. We all need money. We buy groceries, put gas in the vehicle, buy a vehicle, pay rent or mortgage or whatever we go through. We all need the finances, but it's when it controls us. It's when it controls us and when it takes over. We can be sure of one thing when you read the Word of God, that desire for money was not given to us by God. Amen? So we all use money, most likely every day, but it's where it is in our hearts. There's many things all in our lives, but it's how we use them. It's how we use them. If we use technology, and like, I don't know about you, but I've been getting so many emails like, your Amazon account is overdue. You have to plug in. This is overdue. Kojiko. I've been getting all kinds of, I don't even have Kojiko yet. I get there. You need to sign in and do something on Kojiko. And all, I just got one from CIBC. I said to Betty, do we have an account at CIBC to enter a bank account? No, we don't have an account there. And we get one from the Bank of Nova Scotia. I don't have an account there. Why are we getting all these emails of people? I mean, it's like people sit down all day long and thinking how they can rob somebody else and get into their accounts and steal from them and hack into this and hack into that. I don't know what it is, but people just have got this in their minds that I'm going to take from you. I'm going to take from you. And they use technology in the wrong way. I mean, there's all kinds of things, like there's bullying and terrible messages and Facebook, some of the stuff that's on there. And I'm glad I don't have a Facebook account. I just keep my face out of that account. Amen? So I just, technology can be used all the wrong way, but it can be used in the right way. The right way. You know, same with family, marriages. You know, it could be used in the right way. But if there's abuse and put downs and all kinds of things that are happening in the family and the marriage, and that's not the way God prescribed marriage to be, the family to be. Anything can be used for good or wrong reasons. Isn't that right? And you know what? Everything that we do use should give God glory, right? 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 31 says, "Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, "Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." Colossians 3, 23, "And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men." Do it for Him. We've been informed enough from God's word to stay close to God, far from things that will take us away from God, right? I mean, every time you read the Word of God, you go, "Oh, I shouldn't do that." And you feel the Holy Spirit dealing with us. Ever face you like what Jesus said, that the enemy comes to steal, kill, destroy? Ever felt him breathing down your neck, the old enemy just coming in and wanting to steal from you, kill, destroy everything that you put your hand to? I mean, there used to be a song that my mother sang by Eddie Arnold. Anybody remember Eddie Arnold?
Yes.
"Make the world go away and get it off my shoulders." But guess what? Just a song. The world's not going away, and it is on our shoulders. We wake up every day, hopefully we do. You woke up today, I can see. But if you didn't wake up, Hopefully you know Jesus and you know where you're going. Amen? But we wake up every day and we realize that this world is still here and it's trying to get so hard into our lives and trying to get us to follow the world. Follow the world. You know, James hit the nail on the head by the Holy Spirit when he said, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I am tempted by God,' for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. And then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, brings forth death." Now, the book of Hebrews is a powerful book, isn't it? I love Hebrews when you go through it and see all those great things in there that Hebrews tells us. You know, the downfall of many a person is not new when you read through the Word of God, but through the centuries when we see and read of people who excelled, about people who fell and people who excelled. I like when I get to chapter 11 in the book of Hebrews, that great faith chapter where it talks about how people kept going for God. They were sawn in half. They just kept going. They were killed. They were tortured. They were maimed. They were this. They were that. And they just kept going because they had faith in God. Faith in God. They just keep going. Now, I like going through the book of Hebrews because there's a term that I like that says, and this term is just three words, once for all. You ever heard that? Once for all. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10 says, "By that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." I like that. You'll find it again in Hebrews 7, 27, chapter 9, verse 12, and over 9, chapter 9, verse 28. And God must be trying to tell us something, that once for all, Jesus died. Jesus purchased our salvation. It's a done deal that Jesus laid down his life for you and I, so you and I could be free. Are you free today? Amen. Feels good, doesn't it? I like being free. I like being free, Betty. I like being free, too. Betty and I, we just walk through our house, you know, and all of a sudden, you feel like a hug. So, yeah, you look like you need a hug. So I walk over and say, "Betty, let me give you a hug. You look like you need a hug." Yeah. So we hug in our house, and I just feel that freedom to be able to walk over and say, "You just need a hug." And we just enjoy life together. We're free. Free. Isn't it good to be free and all the things that we go through? So Jesus died to set us free. From what? What did he set me free from? Sin. Sin. Sin is that commodity, that thing in our life, that big word that separates us from God. And it's going to be pretty soon, December 25th, when we celebrate on our calendars the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's really amazing because, you know, Mary and Joseph were told, this is how you're going to name the child. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. Now, the sentence didn't stop there because we need to define who Jesus is, what Jesus is all about. So here's what it is. For he will save his people from their sins. That's what he's all about. It's nice to be able to read, oh, his name is Jesus. You shall call his name Jesus. Why did he come? For he will save his people from their sins. Praise God. Everybody knows what sin is, right? When I say the word sin, what are you thinking about right now? When I say the word sin, you're probably thinking of all kinds of things. It's kind of like, you know, the time I was driving a school bus. I think I've shared this before, but it's kind of a cute little story. And like, you know, the kids in the school bus, they're told that it's no swearing, there's none of this, none of that. So anyway, a little girl stood up on the bus one time and said, she swore. She said a bad word. And so I'm driving along the bus, and I don't know why I said this, but I said, what'd she say? Why I would say that, you know. And I looked at her, I said, don't tell me the word. She says, oh, she said a bad word. It starts with C. Okay, now, I'm sure that everybody in this room right now is thinking of all the bad words that start with C, okay? Yeah, it is scary. We think of our flesh and our nature and everything inside of us that we've heard it all, been there, done that, and everything else. We know how to sin. We're professionalizing it. And when somebody says a word and it starts with C, we start going through all of our profanity, our pull out our dictionary of profanity and all the things that we've heard all of our life and try to figure out what this word was that started with C. And I didn't ask her, but all of a sudden she turned around and says, yeah, she said, shut up. That really, God forgive me for all the things I was just thinking. You know? So when I say the word sin, I'm sure that we can all figure out some sins pretty good. Amen? We go through all those things. Everybody knows what sin is, right? It comes at every age. It steals. It's, you know, for a little child, it's stealing a cookie. For a teenager, it's getting a drink of alcohol or something else, and parents won't know when I'm 14 or 15 years old. Remember that one the kid that when the parents went out, he was dippy and so on. She left her brother there, and of course, they were drinkers. They were Christian drinkers, if there is such a thing. And anyway, they had all the bottles on their house and everything else, and so they're. Her brother was there, he was about 13, 14 years old. He decided, you know, looking at all those bottles sitting there in the house, and parents, her sister, and Don, everybody else. So he said, you know, if I just take some down, I'll fill it back up with water so they won't know that anything is wrong. You've done that? Yeah. I mean, every age level that you and I are in, we learn how to uniquely do things so that nobody knows we are doing the sin that we're doing. And like a little child steals a cookie. Oh, I fell off, went somewhere else. I can remember the time many years ago, our oldest boy, Jeremy, like we set up the Christmas tree down the living room, and I went up and I was sitting on the throne. And the knock came at the door, and Jeremy says, Daddy, something happened downstairs. I said, what, Jeremy? He said, the Christmas tree fell down. I said, oh, what'd you do? No, Daddy, it fell all on its own. Funny how we always never want to blame ourselves for anything else and sin. You know, I found it amazing because I look up the word sin in the Greek, and for Hebrews, the constant word seems to be hamartia, which is an offense. It's all this that we learn about. It's a sinful deed. But if you go through the Bible and you learn about all the words that are there, transgression, sin, wrong, and all these things, go through these. I wrote them all down here, and there's much, much more. And if you go through all these words, you can find out how they're used in the Bible and find out about all the sin that we are in. And then I was in my complete biblical library, Greek English dictionary. I went down to that last line. Besides these terms, what? That's not enough. Besides these terms, there are many other words for specific sins, such as murder, adultery, theft, and so on. It's amazing that the Bible has got everything tabulated, everything that you and I do all through our lives. There's Greek word for everything. I mean, we just categorize it as sin, but the Bible and the Greek has got it all listed out for every variation of the things that you and I go through and sin against God. It's amazing, the Word of God, isn't it? No matter how many words you find for it or study and read about it, it's all the same. It's the barrier between us and God. It separates us from Him. And that is what keeps us from God, is the sin. Puts that wall and the barrier out there. So sin is very substantial. It's a biggie in our Bible. And with all the understanding and all the translations and all the definitions, we can give it to any degree of what it is in our life. But the main thing is that when any of this kind of nature appears in us, it keeps us from God. Keeps us from God. Anybody ever heard of a guy by the name of Rex Humbard? Many years ago, when Betty and I were living in Ottawa, I was working at Bell Canada. Rex Humbard was coming to town. I think he was at the National Arts Center. They had a service there. Remember Rex Humbard and Maude Amy and all the family, the Rex Humbard singers and all that. And we enjoyed them. That was back in my early days of Christianity, and I just wanted to soak up everything I could to encourage my faith. And when I heard that Rex Humbard was coming to the National Arts Center, and was putting on a service, we made sure that we went for it. But listen to the message. I still remember it to this day. But Rex Humbard made a play on words in the service that I was in. And he said that, you know, everybody says that there's nothing that you do that God doesn't know about. God knows everything, right?
Yeah.
He made a statement. He says, there are some things that God does not know. That's interesting, you know, because I thought that God knew everything. Well, there's some things that God does not know. And then he said this, he does not know one sin that he does not hate. How's that? He does not know one sin that he cannot remove from us. I thought, yeah, that's it. So, as I think about sin, it must be a very powerful thing because everyone does it. Everyone does it, right? And if anybody's here that said, well, I don't sin, you just did. I'm perfect. Well, you just sin. I don't do anything wrong. You just sin. We know ourselves too well, don't we? Many people try to write off many of the things that we Christians know are absolutely real. It's interesting. Some people that say they believe in heaven, but they don't believe in hell. Why? Some say there's a God, but they won't confess Jesus Christ. Why? Some say there's no such thing as sin. Why? Many biblical doctrines of which we read and see and adhere to are exempt from many people's lives. You know, I just did something crazy this last week, but it's kind of interesting. You should try this. I went on the internet and I Googled no such thing as sin. And all of a sudden, pop, 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 all the things started popping up after I Googled that. And the first one at the very top, which I said, I've got to share this with the church because, you know, if you want to Google it, you can do that. No such thing as sin. This is the one right at the top. There is no such thing as sin. The, and in brackets, the Christian, or there we go, say the Bible. The Christian Bible says there is sin, but offers no reason to believe that there is, other than it has the words in it, in the Bible. Because of the lack of positive proof for this being true, we must be skeptical that it is in fact true. So there you write it off. I see that it's hard to realize that it's hard to come to Jesus. It's difficult. And you think of, you take all the words of the Bible and they're flowing along and they're telling us beautiful stories of sin that you and I have, that there's a Savior of the world. And it comes down to the very basic line that how could, if Jesus came in the flesh and he's a baby and he's a toddler, he's a teenager, he's an adult, how could another adult take away my sins? How could another human being, because that's how we classify Jesus, how could another human being take away all the imperfections and all the things that happen in my life? How could he ever save me from my sins? Well, let me go back to Hebrews again, because this is really interesting. Seeing that now we have a high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. So he stands apart from us. He's the Savior of the world. He's nothing like us in the sense that if you're saying, well, how can another human? Well, even though he came and he took upon himself flesh, he's not in a sense tempted in every area like you and I are, even though he was, yet without sin. Now let's go to the next portion of scripture in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10. And every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God, from that time waiting till his enemies are made his footstool, for by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. But the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us, for after he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts and into their minds. I will write them. Then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Now, where there is remission of these, there is no longer an offering for sin. So the Bible describes to us and points out to us that this Jesus, even though he came in human flesh, he is the one. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice, died upon the cross, gave his life for you and I, he offered it once for all, as Hebrews said, once for all, for sins forever. Isn't that wonderful? Jesus, Son of God, gave his life, laid down his life, surrendered his life, in order that life would come to you and I, that you and I could have eternal life. Pastor Jonathan, how many would like change? You started preaching that last week. I knew what I was preaching on this week. I said, yeah. Sin troubles us, gets us down. How many today would like change? Change. Like we heard last week, change. How many would like to get rid of those sins that bother us? Yeah. You don't have to raise your hands if people did. Sin is the very thing that we are born into this world. We're born into the world. Passion and sin, shaping and iniquity. Made it all there. So you don't have to be taught to sin. It's already there. It just grows and grows in our heart. It's an attack in our lives from the enemy, and it just grows and grows. For those who know not Jesus, they don't know anything about it. Therefore, they call it a normal life. It's normal to do that. They don't know anything about Jesus. They don't know anything about the blood of Jesus Christ. They don't know anything about a Savior. So for them, it's normal. And that's what we're up against, is you're talking to somebody trying to witness to them about Jesus, and they think, I'm normal. You're the guys that aren't normal. You're the guys that go around carrying Bibles. You go to church. You sing songs to Jesus. You believe that blood washes away sins. You guys aren't normal. That's the way they believe. You know, I don't know if you've been watching down the States with the impeachment inquiry. All the things. I watched a couple of the momentums of some of the things that were coming up. It's really interesting. You know, the Democrats would fire questions, and the Republicans would fire questions. They're trying to find the right snare for President Trump. That would get trouble. Get him. And all the while they're going through all these things, I was listening to, you know, politics is crazy. You know, I don't know why anybody would want to be a politician, but, you know, if somebody stands up and really feels led by God to be a politician, let's pray for them. Because they're entering into an arena that is very terrible. You know, as I look at all the politics that goes on, and I watch some of the impeachment inquiry proceedings, and everything seems to be looking for some way to dig up dirt on somebody. Isn't that right? They're trying to find something, a flaw in your past. They're trying to look for something that would, you know, disgrace you and pull down anything you've testified for, and that you're perjuring yourself and you're doing all these things. They're trying to find some flaw somewhere in your testimony to find something that would just disgrace you in your whole life. They're trying to find that to dig up dirt on you. I mean, politicians, it's a dirty business, isn't it? And one in which people should really think twice about if they really want to be a politician. I think about that. Isn't that the way the devil operates? He's trying to dig up dirt on our lives. Dig up dirt. All of us, you know, but he's trying to remove Jesus from our life, trying to get us back into the world. If you know him as Savior, I'm sure that you've faced some of those attacks and those things that you've gone through. And he's trying to dig up dirt in our lives. Thank God it's under the blood of Jesus. Amen. Amen? It's under the blood of Jesus. I don't know if anybody reads through Our Daily Bread, but on Friday, it was the prodigal son. And in the, I just want to share, you probably read the Daily Bread, and if not, this would be interesting for you. But it went on to say the author, Henry Nguyen, recalls a visit to a museum in St. Petersburg, Russia, where he spent hours reflecting on Rembrandt's portrayal of the prodigal son, and I put it up there for you. As the day wore on, changes in the natural lighting from a nearby window left Nguyen with the impression that he was seeing as many different paintings as there were changes of light. Each seemed to reveal something else about a father's love for the broken son. Nguyen describes how at about 4 o'clock, three figures in the painting appeared to step forward. One was the older son who resented his father's willingness to roll out the red carpet for the homecoming of the younger brother, the prodigal. After all, hadn't he squandered so much of the family fortune, causing them pain and embarrassment in the process? The other two figures reminded Nguyen of the religious leaders who were present as Jesus told this parable. They're the ones who muttered in the background about the sinners Jesus was attracting. Nguyen saw himself in all of them, in the wasted life of his youngest son, and the condemning older brother and religious leaders, and in a father's heart that's big enough for anyone and everyone. Then at the bottom of the Daily Bread, it said, what about us? Can we see ourselves anywhere in Rembrandt's painting? I guess in many ways we can. I'd like to be considered the prodigal son, comes and bows at the father's feet, says, Father, forgive me. I squandered my life, the riches, the blessings. I'm not worthy to be called your servant. Not worthy to be called your son. Not worthy of anything that you do. So I bow before you. And isn't that the way we should be when we come to Jesus? We bow ourselves in his presence. Jesus, I want to serve you. Remember how Peter said, depart from me. Don't even come near me. I'm a sinful man. And that's the way we should be in our hearts as we come to Jesus and thank him for saving our soul. This morning, if the enemy is trying to dig up dirt in your life, surrender it all to Jesus and just bow in his presence and say, Father, forgive me. Forgive me for all that I've done, for the thoughts that I had this week, the things that I've said, the people I've offended, the disgrace that I've brought upon your name, and things that have just gone on in my life which are not of you. I need to get back into the right relationship with you. And so thank God that the Holy Spirit would be talking to you this morning and telling you about those very things, because I love the Word of God, because it says in Psalm 103, verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. That's how God wants to kick them out of our lives and make us clean, 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 clean. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed, that word is heavy there, removed our transgressions from us. Would you stand with me, please, today? Father, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ today. Thank you, God, that you love us so very much. This whole Bible over the centuries that it was written, and even to this day, is very true, that you love us this very much, that you cannot stand sin, but you love us and you want to see us with sin removed. Father, I pray this morning, Lord, that through this message, I pray that perhaps somebody here is getting something, feeling something, hearing something. Something's going on in somebody's heart here today that they just feel that I just need to repent of this. I need to get this out of my life. I need to ask forgiveness from God. I just need to come to him this morning afresh. Maybe you've done it many times before, but today you just sense that this is it. This is a time. This is a break. This is the breakthrough. This is the time I'm going to get rid of this once and for all. Would you be man or woman enough to say, God, that's me. That's me. I need that. Father, I need that. I need that. Now, I don't know how this prodigal son felt. His brother standing there with those eyes looking down on him, saying, wow, he's got a lot of love. And I just want to encourage you this morning in this church service, there's something that you need to make right. I think you should come to this altar. Say, God, forgive me. Even though there may be somebody looking at you. Even though others around here may be looking at you saying, they don't expect a lot. But you want to make sure that you get the freedom that God wants you to have this morning. So I encourage you, don't let the enemy win today. Come to this altar this morning. Come to this altar. Say, God, forgive me. Forgive me. Forgive me. The worship team comes, yes. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Come on, church. Hallelujah. We sing that song again because he lives. Because he lives. Praise God. Come on, church. Man and woman enough to step forward this morning. Say, God, things in my life plaguing me, bothering me, getting me down. Hallelujah. My church. Hallelujah. 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 Praise you, Jesus. Hard on you, trying to dig up the dirt. You know what Paul talked about? I'm crucified with the Lord Jesus Christ. The old man has been buried. But did you know the enemy likes to see if he can dig him back up? You know, kind of exhume the old man and bring him back to life and see if he can operate again in the flesh that we're living in. Maybe the devil's trying to dig up some dirt. And maybe you're here this morning and you've just been really facing a battle. Why don't you come forward this morning? We're just going to pray for everybody that comes. And we know that God's going to send a release and the power of his Holy Spirit this morning because you come into the house of God, the place where the people of God are. And there's a powerful setting here right now, the Holy Spirit working through an anointing of the Holy Spirit. So if that's you this morning, the devil's trying to dig up dirt. Come on. Come on.
Because he lives, I can face
Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, God.
Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know,
yes, I know. Around these people, guy with guy, girl with girl, would you pray for them right now that God would just give them that freedom, would give them that very place in their lives where they just find that God is doing something powerful through them and he wants to set them free. Come on, let's pray over them this morning. Hallelujah. Come on, prayer warriors. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Son Jesus, whom you gave to this whole wide world, that through him our sins would be taken from us. If we confess him as our Lord and our Savior, we thank you this morning, Lord, that you are real, that you are just, you're a powerful Savior, and that you can remove our sins as far as the east is from the west. Thank you, God. We stand upon the word. We hide your word in our hearts that we would not sin against you. So I pray over every person that came to this altar. I pray for everyone who perhaps couldn't come to this altar, but they know that they're in need, they're in need, they're in need. I pray in the name of Jesus, set free. Set free, Lord, set free. We thank you, Lord, that through that blood, freedom is had. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. We worship you, we praise you, we exalt you for all you do in our lives. Thank you, God. We bless you and praise you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Amen.